Before we get to this week's edition of the Summer of Stein, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at True Car, who have some useful car tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can be used to clean the interior of your car. You could also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you could also take your keychain remote and put it underneath your chin to increase its range. That's weird, but here's a tip that's not so weird. True Car can help you get a used car as well. That's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. With a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you can enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Big brother time, do you hear that sound? It's Gary Stein about to break it down. Watching the show for us three times a week. It's very truth on RHAB. Your house guests better watch your mouth. The Stein knows when your game set is out. He's got the gift of God and knows what to say. When you are ready, bug, yeah, take it away. Yeah, if you do not watch the video of this podcast, you are missing out on Eric's very exciting intros every week during the theme music. Eric poured a couple of tablespoons of ketchup down his gullet to recreate Bailey bleeding from the mouth.
This was not as well conceived as I imagined it. That was a lot of ketchup.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
A lot of ketchup. I would have been better off biting through my tongue, honestly. I didn't prepare napkins.
Yeah.
It'd be a little sticky, this podcast. not that dissimilar from somewhat clammy last week.
Yeah. So somewhat sticky, better or worse than somewhat clammy?
Similar results.
All right, here we are back on the Summer of Stein, the only Big Brother podcast that is nonstop nonsense about Big Brother 20. And we have another week of stuff to talk about here with Eric Stein. Eric, how was your week?
It was nonstop nonsense, just like this podcast. Isn't that what Big Brother 20 should be about at this point? You know, like, I think that's exactly what we should be feeling about Big Brother. I'm loving the nonsense, loving the nonsense.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun season, especially because we've gotten, you know, equal parts of the nonsense. And then there's also a game which has not gotten stale also going on at the same time. So we have all those things to talk about. But we have another week of stuff to focus on here today on the Summer of Stein. Of course, you can send us in your questions all week long. You don't have to wait for Monday right before the show, like most of you do. And you can email bigbrother@robiswebsite.com. You could also send us a voicemail as well, robhiswebsite.com/voicemail, or you could also leave us a call at 323-282-RHAP. Okay, let's get into it. Eric has been very busy all week working at SpacePex.
I most certainly have. I actually took a picture. It was probably about 2010 at the time, where I was flexing right alongside of Jesse.
Yes.
Yes. His arms were approximately four of mine. So whatever he's doing over at SpacePex, it's paying off. So good for him.
Yeah. Eric, can you talk us through, like, take us into the Big Brother's writer's room where, I don't know if you've ever, you know, gotten to peek behind the curtain. How does the genesis for something like SpacePex start? Is it that, okay, we've got Jesse coming in, we need an idea for Jesse, or is somebody in the room, oh, SpacePex, let's see if Mr. Pectacular is available. Do you know which comes first?
I think it's very nice of you to think that there's any sort of process whatsoever to this. I think basically They text Jesse. He tells them day he's going to come. And about 5 minutes beforehand, they print up the card for him.
Yes. Okay. So Space Pex it was during this week. Eric, of course, the big story of the week was the departure of Bailey from the Big Brother house. And of course, a really classic fight between Bailey and Tyler during a house meeting earlier this week. We have not heard your reaction on Bailey going out this week and becoming the first member of the jury.
Well, I wonder if Tyler is starting to fly a little close to the sun here. Ooh. You know, this is the problem when you play with emotions. Yes, it brings people in and it makes them want to serve you and your game to the best way possible. But when they end up screwed by you, then they bite through their mouths and end up with a mouthful of ketchup on a Monday afternoon. So I'm starting to get a little bit nervous for Tyler, who is obviously, you know, out of the gates is the clear front runner here, but maybe just a little too much so, because we saw how Sam is taking it. We see how Bailey is taking it. And not to mention that you have the Faute side who, for whatever reason, believes him to not be playing well. They think he's in the dark. So I wonder if between the people he's hurting and the people who are, for whatever reason, perceiving him to be somehow lost in this game, if we're starting to march towards another potential finish where someone who, to the audience perspective, is the clear-cut winner here might not have the votes accessible to him. I think people are overshooting their Tyler projections at this point.
You bring up an interesting point, Eric, and I don't know if this is one that we've talked about where, you know, much of the success of Tyler has been based on this idea of that, oh, he's just this dumb surfer guy, but in reality, he is more of a mastermind. And I don't know if we necessarily have a template where, you know, we have like the classic example of Fabio on Survivor, who was not the sharpest pencil in the box, with all due respect. And then in the end, he got there and he was like a little bit sharper than maybe people first perceived, but you know, at the end of the day, he was a really likable guy.
Right, no one had their feelings hurt by him.
Right. Well, I don't know if we've really had the Kaiser Sose where people just look past this guy. He's just a dumb surfer bro all season long, only to have him, you know, have this be information be revealed to a bunch of players, either when they go out of the game or in the jury. And I wonder if it might be a little bit like where we see these moms make it to the final two and three on these shows, and like a Dawn in Survivor Karamoan, where everybody is just, ripping her a new one because, Dawn, how could you betray me? We thought you were just the nice mom and you lied to us. And, how dare you?
I think that's a distinct possibility. And I think another possibility is flat out not believing him the mm-hmm. way that sometimes we will reflect on someone sort of post interview as revisionist history. They could just be like, yeah, great narrative, Tyler, but I'm not seeing it. I mean, we touched on this very briefly last week, but much in the way that Cameron sort of paid, you know, the receipts on Ian and Steve, I wonder if there's some sort of subconscious reflection here. I mean, I went back through it this week and realized that all of Braden, David, and Jace were not only bad players, they were the first people out of the game. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely some sort of like a surfer bias probably that's going on in the reverse of the nerd bias, where maybe people are just completely disarmed by Tyler, but maybe they're not going to buy it in the end, or as you're saying, going to be just completely hurt by what happened. And I really think he's playing a dangerous game at the moment. And especially, you need to be careful with these people that have these explosive or emotional personalities. And Bailey and Sam, you know, look no further than that. He tried to finesse it with his goodbye message, but I wonder how many of these close allies he can send packing before they are stewing in the jury and the tables turn on him.
Okay, Eric, let me bring in an email here from one of our listeners, William, who writes in about how the key point lost in this season is that Tyler is a lifeguard, not a surfer. a lifeguard is a professional observer and communicator, which is exactly what Tyler has shown this season, as should be expected. Every day, I hear someone in the Big Brother house or on a podcast that remain confused, making it sound like Tyler is a surfer dude because of his long blonde hair, surfer style clothes, or his Fed diary room lines like tonight, riding on cloud nine. Can Eric help stop the madness?
Oh, this is just such an important point right here.
Did somebody say lifeguard?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Classic Crispy right here. This is the thing. I'm so glad that we received this email to clarify the great observation and communication skills of lifeguards. That's what they're known for, right? Yeah, this is great. Maybe you can get a whistle.
Yeah.
Possibly set up some cones for people to play.
Hey, no running. No running.
Yeah. Too deep in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I, you know, much like, you know, we had Derek and Tony, you know, and Summer of Steve in the cop archetype. I mean, could Tyler be the beginning of all of these strategic mastermind lifeguards that we might be seeing moving forward? I mean, I'm really glad this was pointed out to us. And I will, you know, go to bat to clarify this point. He's most certainly more than a surfer. He's a lifeguard also.
Yeah. So do you feel like that people who are lifeguards will now come on to these shows and say that they are surfers?
Yes, exactly.
Or will Tyler taint the surfer archetype and that people will have to say they're lifeguards if they're surfers?
Well, I think I think that's exactly it. Next year, we will have another lifeguard who's going to have to come in and say, but I'm a mere surfer.
Surfer.
Yeah. That's right.
I think he's a lifeguard.
Cover up the whole thing, guys. Like, and he's saying all the catchphrases that a standard lifeguard would. Like, you're getting too deep. He's tipping his hand whenever it's like, I don't know. There's something that's not adding up with this surfer in the house. He's such a good listener. Is it possible that he's a lifeguard?
They'll have to like throw themselves into the pool and pretend to drown. So they'll see. Okay, then he'll have to reveal himself.
Yes. Right. And much like Steve did not own up to his real thing, but you know, he was a mechanic. He'll like come up with something really close to being a lifeguard. Like he's a swim instructor to cover up, you know, the fact that he's really a lifeguard.
Yeah. All right. Eric, Bailey is gone. We should at least eulogize Bailey, our first juror of the game. Do you have any final thoughts on Bailey?
I believe that Bailey was the singular worst player in the house this season. And I know that this is an unpopular opinion, but I think that we were trying to, as an audience, will her into
Swaggy
being a good player.
Swaggy C's really not going to like you after this one.
I know. He's going to be steamy C with me. Steamed up. It's bad. This is, I am just thinking that we wanted her to be that yes queen. We wanted her to come out of the gates and kind of ride the middle and build that relationship after Swaggy was gone. But she was never well positioned in this game. She bossed people around. She made people uncomfortable, swear on their loyalties, was extremely confrontational, and failed to properly really execute anything she was trying to do. And as has been covered ad nauseum, particularly on the Survivor end of things, there is no excuse whatsoever for her going home with her power in her pocket. And that's as great of nonsense as we could possibly have this season, because you have Angela as the HOH, and I understand, save it to protect yourself, the hacker, blah, 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 blah. But she was lacking the awareness to realize she did need it to protect herself. I was not impressed by what Bailey put together, and then these outbursts and sort of relationships really devolved towards the end. I thought she stunk up the joint, to be honest. And I thought she was a nice character. She was fun. She was dynamic. She was certainly not boring. She was in the mix, but she was deluded as to her own value, position, and power in the game.
She had 6 weeks in the house, Eric. And if I could, I'd like to divide them up into three segments, which I believe the official term is trimesters in terms of breaking this down. And in the first third of her game, those those first 2 weeks, she really did not have a lot going on. She was basically, she got together with Swaggy C, had this showmance. You know, she's in the first couple episodes telling Swaggy C to chill out, but then really we don't see her very much. Swaggy C is gone at the end of the second week. Bailey rises, and she has a, you know, this amazing bump to her game, and she
had to sort of resort to plan B, though, right? Because Swaggy was out of the game.
No, she did. She didn't have to. She was actually forced into the, you know, she because she was so she was in a bad spot. She actually, you know, was able to, you know, she minded her P's and Q's. And actually, I thought, like, developed a lot of relationships over those 2 weeks. She got the power she was building. But then in those final 2 weeks where she just, like, her head swelled, got too big. And ultimately, it was, you know, the pride cometh before the fall. And then
I think it would have been better for her if she was sort of like a sponge of information in the game. But she sort of didn't safeguard herself in that way. And then she went into power and she sort of set forth a course that was going to happen. But the thing is, you're not HOH for the whole season. So she sort of had to abort mission on that and go to a whole other sort of course of action.
Didn't.
Yeah. And she didn't. And it was sort of like growing and growing inside of her to the point where it just, you know, it overtook her. So and here she is on vacation somewhere in the you know, mystery resorts of Mexico, aka 10 minutes from the house in California.
Yes. Eric, so you're buying into one of these people. These are first jury members will be coming back into the game, right?
It does seem like that would be the most viable option. And I think that that probably is the best case for the game, honestly. I mean, you know, would you have really wanted Winston back in the game at this point? I mean, yes, Caitlin would have been nice. But at this point, I think for the most part, people who could be re-entering would bring back an interesting dynamic a couple of weeks later. So, you know, if they're insistent upon bringing people back into the game, I think we'll have a good pool to choose from.
Okay. Do you think that Bailey is a likely person to return to the game, to be reborn into this house?
Nah, I don't think so. And I don't think more likely than not, whoever we lose in the future of this week will probably not be someone that we'll be seeing again as well. I think it'll be someone who unfortunately probably just exited, immediately re-entering, which tends to have the least impact on the game because they've had the least time away to reflect.
Like a Johnny Mac.
Exactly. They're just sort of just spinning themselves right back into where they exactly came from 45 seconds earlier.
Okay. Eric, let's take a tweet from one of our listeners, and let's start off with the Melissa bot this week. I have a question for you, Eric. What's it like witnessing a meltdown in front of you in the Big Brother house? And that Melissa bot has captured a picture of Amber from Big Brother 8 screaming. No,
this is very, very interesting because I know that we're going to address something adjacent to this later. But I actually think that Amber probably is more at the mental capacity that Sam is at this moment than Bailey was in that moment. With all due respect to the situation, Tyler actually didn't deserve the ire that Bailey gave her, whereas I kind of had it coming with Amber a little bit.
Can you know, refresh my memory? What were the circumstances that led to this?
All right. So Amber was an extremely self-important, self-righteous sort of individual. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest, she probably should not have been in the house in the first place.
You know, like goes without saying.
We took a Wonderlic exam, you know, like they do in the NFL draft ahead of time. That's 50 questions over 12 minutes. They get progressively harder. Amber, about 2 months into the season, said, "Do you guys remember that 5-question test that we took in the casting process?" And we were like, "No, I don't remember that. What are you talking about?" Turns out she didn't know there was more beyond the first page because she never turned it over. I don't think that she was really with the program,
right,
so to speak. And she was carrying on and on and on and on about how she was so self-righteous and she was a good person. And this was actually misconstrued in the House, not to defend myself 11 years later. But she told me that she lied about details of her personal life to screw with her boyfriend at the time. The situation was presented as if I was going to release her personal information. That was not actually the case. What I actually threatened to do was simply point out that if she's willing to manipulate her boyfriend at the time, then clearly she's a little bit more of a manipulator than she was letting on to in the game.
Okay.
She took this a little bit hard. So I sat down with a cheese bagel in the living room. And
what is a cheese bagel? That's a toasted bagel with a slice of American on the top?
Melted. Yes, got exactly. It was confused with nachos at the time, so I want to clarify what I was actually eating. And she unleashed about a 5 to 10 minute tirade where no one else said a word, including myself. It was not good for my game at the time, but you know, we worked through it, and then I voted her out about 2 weeks later, so it was fine. Yeah. It was fine. I think Tyler did really honestly about as best that you can do in that situation. If you go toe to toe, it looks like you're defending something, it looks like you're losing your mind also. Let the person say what they need to say and then work on it later. I think that's the best case scenario that you could possibly unfurl. And honestly, I think it's debatable as to who was more unraveled in that situation.
Yeah. How did you handle it?
I literally did not say a word.
Just ate the cheese bagel.
Yes. And then for about, I went into the diary room and I said, well, that was unfortunate. And then I composed myself. And then for about 2 days, it was beyond certain that my game was completely screwed as a result of it. And then I started to dig my way out from it. And I don't even think it really, I mean, Tyler wasn't in danger that week. So, you know, it gave him the time to sort of finesse it. And really, his allies, I don't think they ever even objected to it. I think the difference in the situation for me was that she was an ally of mine. So it resulted in the rest of my allies siding with her, whereas this really didn't change anything. You know, the Angelas of the world found it funny that Bailey was yelling at Tyler. It did not compromise his place in the game, realistically.
And how was the bagel?
It was all right. I feel like it was a little bit spoiled by the maniacal screaming.
Did you keep eating, or then you said, let me stop eating?
I believe that I actually bageled in the diary room, sort of an offshoot of blanketing, except I wasn't quite as despondent or giving up. I just sort of took my actions with me to the diary room as I sorted through the situation.
Okay. All right. Eric, you touched on Sam. That has been a big story on the feeds. And then finally in the episode last night where we got to see a little bit into Sam's breakdown that she is going through. And I'm not sure the best way to jump into this. I guess let's go to a question that we got about this from one of our listeners. This is from Kelly Lynch, who wants to know, hi, Rob and Eric, have either of you ever participated in a curb stomp?
Well, naturally. Thank you for that, Kelly. Haven't we all? It's funny that these questions should actually come back to back, because I think what we experienced with Sam is actually a lesson that we last saw with Amber on Big Brother 8. And that is, do not mess with production. We all heard the rumors that Sam was threatening to not vote. She was threatening to walk out. And this is all on a live eviction day. This is a major headache to production. And they invested a lot of time in making Sam one of the favorites, right? So Amber was getting a reasonable edit up until the point that she gave the show bad press with some off-color remarks that she made. And then the next two segments you saw about Amber on the show were her proclaiming that she was going to be America's next top model, as they had some unsavory photos behind her. And then after that, she had sort of like a hooked on phonics, she doesn't know what words mean segment. And I think that that's what we're seeing in Sam right now, is that Sam did not want to make an enemy of the editors and the producers here. And her story took a precipitive dive off of a cliff here. And
a steep curve.
Yes, or right into a mud hole, so to speak.
Yeah.
And she stomped herself right into it, created a mud hole for herself, and now she will be digging her way or curb stomping her way out of it. I think Sam is as has no friends in production at the moment. I think this is not the last we've seen of anti-Sam segments.
Yeah. Eric, could I play that curb stomping scene from last night again?
Please do.
Stomp a mud hole is kind of more like stomp a blood hole.
I don't even know what a blood hole is.
Do you know what
a blood hole, Eric? Is that what you did with the ketchup?
Yeah, exactly. I got so angry. Just turned into one disgusting blood hole.
Curb stomp is. It's where you put somebody's top teeth on a curb and then you smash the back of their head.
Why would you do that? Yeah. To kill that person?
Well, I mean, sometimes it kills people.
Sometimes?
Sometimes they just swallow all their own teeth.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. It's stuff I've seen in movies.
What kind of movies do you watch? I've never seen that in movies.
Is this like a scary story? Does JC say to Sam, like, Sam, tell me a scary story.
This is like he was the perfect foil in this situation because we know full well JC's seen plenty of stuff in his day and he's playing along like he's never been more shocked in his entire life, which I think added to the comedy. And her delivery, I mean, it's outright scary in this situation. There's no doubt. It's actually a rare situation where it's both what she's saying and how she's saying it. Mm-hmm. It's very ominous. She may as well have just simply said, JC, I am going to shatter your teeth out of your face and make you swallow them. You
it's know? Just like, how is she such an authority on curb stomping? Sometimes they die, but sometimes they just swallow all their teeth. Like, how many curb stompings has she witnessed? How does she know so much about this?
Yes, I have a deep-rooted theory about this, and I'm would not be surprised if questions came up about this as well, right? So I'm wondering, are we going to see her like drop a Sweet Chin Music or a Tombstone pile driver?
Yeah,
possibly coming up down the pipeline. Yeah. Here, right?
Well, Eric, it's almost like you have my outline here. We got another question from Joseph Dunn, who says, I'm guessing Sam got the whole stomp a mud hole from the WWE. Jim Ross would say that when Stone Cold would stomp on someone laying in a corner, curb stomp is probably from American History X. What are your thoughts?
Sam! She's gonna stomp a mud hole in JC
through hellfire.
Good God!
It's Sam. You know, this is we actually do not need
it's curb stomping time.
Yeah, we do not need our tinfoil hats for this one. This is a fact. All right, I wrote for WWE. We have Mr. Pictacular. We had Psycho Sid's son. We had Judas straight out of the breeding grounds of WWE, right? We have the Sunday Night producer is a past writer and producer at WWE. And we had our second appearance of the season of WWE's own Big Dick Johnson. So I think that much in the great footsteps of the 1980s WWE icon Hillbilly Jim, perhaps we are just building up a character straight to WWE Hillbilly Sam, who is out to avenge all of the harlots and sluts who flirt with men, such as the WWE divas who are scantily clad. I think we have a villainous, virtuous WWE wrestler in our midst, and I believe they are building up her villainous WWE character right here.
Yeah, so she's gonna come in, and have they done that gimmick of the person who comes in and is really against the divas?
Yeah, they did a Right to Censor in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. which were blurring the puppies, as Jim Ross would say. So I could see her bringing that back as well, and she. Clearly, we have her finishing move. We have the curve stomp and stomp in a mud hole.
Yeah, they're all stomping.
Yes, yes. Very, very, very violent.
It's the Sam stomp.
I wonder if they had to call her into the diary room and say, hey, listen, you know, we threw out Willie Hans for but a mere headbutt here. If you stomp a mud hole and or do a curb stomp in this house, we are going to be forced to give you a penalty nom, you know?
Well, Eric, in all seriousness, where do you see this going? There's been, you know, a lot of talk of, you know, will production have to pull Sam from the game? Do you think it's going in that way, or is this just another Big Brother contestant really struggling with the, you know, 99 days in the house?
Well, I'm a bit of a pacifist. It's probably because I grew up at 5'7", so it didn't seem like fighting was in my best interest. But I'm going to go against type here and say I think the best possible outcome for this would be if she curb stomped someone in the house and just got thrown out of the house for it.
If they attempted curb stomp?
An attempted, maybe just a mere mud hole, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. You know, we want everyone to have their teeth on finale night to be camera ready. But I think it's the best possible outcome here. I know that this has been discussed. I know Taryn has, or Torrance has discussed this a lot this week. And what I'm there, you know, I guess it's debatable. Are they holding her against her will at this point? But as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's a free will situation. She can walk out at any time if she wants to. We don't know if this is her strategy. We don't know if she's just sort of a roller coaster, bipolar-y sort of personality. And as far as I'm concerned, I think this is overblown. There's been plenty of psychotic people to have meltdowns in the Big Brother house, you know? And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think she shapes up as a great final three goat either, because we saw her win an endurance competition, and she might have some sort of appeal or favor in the house or whatever. So, you know, I think she's going to stick around, but I don't think she's making it to the finish line here. I think someone will realize I do not want to take my chances sitting next to Sam, be it for the sake of my teeth or the sake of the vote.
You know who's in a bad spot of walking into potentially being the first curb stomped person in the house?
To tell.
The Zingbot is walking into this house next week, and she's saying, like, hey, if anybody is going to be making any jokes about me, they're in for it.
You let me find out one time that somebody in here is making me look dumb, and I will rip them limb for limb and pull their bottom lip clean up over the back of their head, and they'll regret the day they were born.
I mean, they're sending that Zingbot in there for a suicide mission.
Hey, you should give him like a Stretch Armstrong style lip so she could actually yank it over his head.
Good God! That's Zingbot's head! It's just gotten curb stomped!
I heard that on the feeds also in the last couple days, she's finally admitted the shocking revelation that she may have been a little bit jealous of the attention that Haley's getting from the guys.
Jealous, so, yes. Yeah,
all Zingbot needs to really say is like, hey, you know all the guys in the house? They like Haley, not you. That's it. Curb stomp.
She's got all the welding tools. So Zingbot is in for a world of pain when it goes into
the exam. I think we're finally seeing what would have happened if cornbread lasted the entirety of BBOTT.
You know, Sam talks about how, well, I don't care if I win the game. I don't want to win the game. I don't care why I'm here. But also, I haven't touched a computer in 5 years. Like, what is her end goal here?
Yeah, right. She's not looking, not in for the celebrity, not in for the win,
she
not seems enjoying
to, she wants to be loved by America. Would you rather be loved by America and lose? Yes, yes, I would. Full stop.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing she doesn't care about winning the game, because that is looking less and less likely as time goes
but
by.
But what does she want? It's not like she wants, like, Instagram followers. So this
free food for a few months. I don't know. Maybe she thought she was going to meet the love of her life in the house. You know, I'm not sure what the angle was. The word on the street that I've heard, I heard she sort of mentioned this, you know, here and there on the feeds is that she allegedly put on her application that she hates the show and does not want to participate in it.
Well, maybe like Cody last season, who was somebody who, you know, was like openly had disdain for the show. Maybe they thought they will catch lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah, maybe she's trying to go full Amber BB-8 and become a top model after this.
All right. Eric, I wanted to talk to you about Brett a little bit. And, you know, we've been admiring Brett from afar here, talking about how he's come into his own. What's been your take? We talked about, a lot about the analyze last week, but what do you think of Brett and where he stands at the halfway point of this game?
Well, I found it very appealing that he had cookies in his sleeve during the live show, because I have been known to eat a full sleeve of cookies, you know, like an entire row of Chips Ahoy here and there. So that definitely spoke to me. And, you know, I think probably sort of the inside shop community is overrating Brett's game ever so slightly. But in this mix, in this personal dynamic, I think he's been a lot of fun. I think it's very rare that the bro character finds themselves in a good position in the game where they have a lot of options. And, you know, he's really been served well by Rachel leaving and Winston leaving as well. As, you know, one of only two left standing from the Saved by the Bell gang. By the way, I saw Winston was wearing a Kelly Kapowski shirt over the weekend. So he somehow has stolen this. He's incepted our brains and he's taken over for us. But I think he finds himself in a good spot. I don't know that I heard Torrance say Dr. Will and Brett in the same sentence. I think that's one too many early morning Uptons for Torrance. I do not.
Torrance.
I will not go that far. Yeah, I will not. Yes, thank you. That's fantastic. I will not go that far with my assessment, but I do think what everyone is begging for, and I think it's more of the great hope here, is that everyone is hoping that we're going to see a JC, Brett, or Scotty move on Tyler, because that is the way to make this season go from great to just absolutely fantastic. If we can get a true adversary for Tyler, if we end up more falling into that sort of march to the finish where everyone is sort of servicing him and they all think he's his final three, and it ends up more in that Boston Rob, Redemption Island, or Paul space, then I think we might sort of crawl to the finish line. So I think that Brett and JC and Scotty, they more represent the hope of what might come. And I'm still not yet sure if they represent the actuality of what is going to come here. Well, yeah. What's your take on where he stands at this point?
I think he's been very fun. I mean, I don't see him as a viable winner candidate in terms of like what would have to happen. I think that he sort of is, you know, playing both sides, but in reality, like, I don't think he's really exploring, really working with the other side. Like, he is like the rare person on reality TV that's like the mole, that isn't actually flipping against the people that told him to be the mole. He seems to be going out there doing his like undercover mole work, and then, you know, still very loyal to the people that sent him out on that mission, where, you know, the benefit of being the mole is that you can potentially flip to the other side. And it doesn't seem like he's actually exploring that. So I'm just happy that he's providing, you know, good TV, more than we probably ever could have expected from him.
Yeah, I think he has actually been surprisingly joyful. This is not a character I normally find myself rooting for. And I think he's delivered in great volume as to his contributions to the season. But yes, Brett, the player, that remains to be seen. He hasn't needed to do anything so far. And I guess there's the possibility that everyone who finds themselves sort of at the bottom of both alliances, that's the weird part, is that the middle guys, the JCs, the Bretts, and the Scotties, they're sort of like fourth or fifth in both alliances. So I wonder, is there any scenario where worlds collide or they actually compare notes and realize, hey, we need to reshuffle the deck here? That would be the most fun. But to this point, it's not happening. And realistically, if you wanted to keep entertaining us, I think Brett probably would have been better off somehow contracting an actual case of anal lice moving forward. At least it would have given him a story for the week.
All right, Eric, let's take a question related to everything we're talking about here. This is from Binky, who called in to the show. Here's Binky.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Eric. It's Binky. And I have a very important question for you. So here it goes. Would you rather have one giant outbreak of anal lice and get your ass whooped and never get anal lice again? Or a bunch of little outbreaks? Or do you like the relationship that you have with anal lice right now? Yep, that's my question. Can't wait to hear the answer. Bye-bye.
Eric, would you rather have one giant outbreak of anal lice that kicks your ass or several smaller outbreaks? Or do you prefer your relationship with anal lice as is?
I mean, I feel like I have a sound relationship with it at the moment by simply not having it. But if given the possibility of one epic case and or a recurring issue with it, I would probably rather just get it over with.
The one epic case sounds particularly torturous.
Yeah, you have to take one of those, like, what, oatmeal baths? Oh, no, wait, that's chicken pox. That's not lice, right?
Yeah. Although several smaller outbreaks seems like no picnic either.
Yeah, or is this like one of those situations where you send the giant mosquito in to handle the outbreak of lice, and then you have to send like a mouse to get the mosquito, a snake to get the mouse, and an albatross to get the snake. So it becomes like a runaway train where, you know, your anus is in grave jeopardy at that point.
Yeah, I mean, this would be one of these epic summer movies where maybe they could get The Rock in there to have, you know, a giant anal lice outbreak versus giant mosquito, and then,
yeah,
you know. Which side are you
like
on?
Tara Reid and Ian Ziering speed than The Rock's. Possibly Sharknado 7. Okay. Or Mamma Mia, here we go again, if it's a bunch of outbreaks.
The third thing also, yeah. All right. Let's get to go back to a tweet. This is another message that we got from one of our great listeners here on the Summer of Stein podcast. This is from Big Brother Sister, who writes to us. Rob and Eric, I'm having a hard time telling the difference between rock star and Pauly Calafiore's accent. Please spend a good amount of time on the next Summer of Stein reciting lines in each voice to help me differentiate them. Thanks. Eric, have you been able to tell the difference between rock star in the Diary Room and Pauly Calafiore?
Now, is this the difference between our impersonations of them or their actual speaking voices?
Okay. Well, let's start there with the actual speaking voices. Let me give you some of rock star in the Diary Room. Okay, so here's some rock star in the Diary Room here.
Okay. I don't know if I really
that sounded, if you just told me that was JC, I would have believed you.
Okay. Let's see. Here is another rock star from the Diary Room. Okay, this is when she had to make a shake for Jesse.
I have had the pleasure of enrolling in Jesse's fitness and food program.
Okay. And here is Pauly Calafiore.
Oh, it smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all you can eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
Okay. Oh. So they're even using the same terminology, right?
Disgusting.
Okay. So, Eric, I have a game for you. Okay. Okay. I'm going to play you a clip. And you tell me, is this rock star in the Diary Room or is this Pauly Calafiore?
All right, this is going to be tough. I did decently at last week's game, but I'm feeling a worse outcome here.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, let's give it a shot. And let's see how you do. Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Here's the first round.
I get blindsided every single week.
Okay. Is that Angie Rockstar or Pauly Calafiore?
Well, I'm trying to set what the possible context to that quote may have been. And I feel like that was probably right after the demise of PP. And it was probably when Paul was singing his blindsided Oh song in the diary room, dancing
yeah.
with his little floaty device on. So I'm going to say that that is most assuredly Pauly Califiori.
You're right. Good job. You're one for one. Okay.
Let me guess, I'm playing for some of Paulie's meat in this competition.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's go to round number two of the Angie Rockstar or Pauly Califiori game. Okay. Here is clip number two.
My eyelash fell off. That's cute.
Okay. Was that Rockstar or was that Pauly Califiori?
Oof. Trying to think about who has had some tough times in the house. I know that Pauly had a very emotional encounter with the butterfly, but I don't believe that's what I was just hearing. So I will say this is when Pauly Califiori had to bake several apple pies in the Big Brother house.
Nailed it. Two for two.
All right, if you ever wanted sorry to interrupt the game. If you ever wanted to know, you know, we've discussed here and there about whether or not I will ever play Big Brother again. And if you ever wanted evidence as to why I will never be on Big Brother again, last night, your brother Cody, he tweeted that Tyler is the man. That was the whole tweet. You know, that was great analyze on his behalf, really analyzing the game. Tyler is the man, and that got 2,600 likes. 2,600 likes.
Yeah.
And that is why I will never be back on the game, because if I tweeted Tyler is the man, I would get -3 likes.
Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous also, because, you know, that I'm not even going to name names, but I see some of these Big Brother legends, and they'll tweet things like you got to make sure you always keep your allies close, and watch the likes and the retweets just, rack up.
I feel like I've been doing this all wrong. Instead of actually giving like reasonable thoughts about it, that's exactly right. You should come up with like the most generic possible things to say, like, it's going to be a close one. Excited right. for the vote.
Yes. And Rupert has mastered this for Survivor and people mock him. But the Big Brother, these Big Brother people, they do it and the fans just like it. Eat it up.
All right. Ready for the next clip.
Okay. All right. Here you go. Here's another one. Is this Rockstar or Pauly Califiori?
This is my 34th year, and I always said that, like, 34 was my favorite number, so I was either going to have all the best year of my life, or I was going to die.
That was a little dark. It was a little dark. All right, I'm trying to think about the context of this one. I do know that Pauly, he recently is seeking redemption, on another show. And he witnessed some things in the house, possibly some, extramarital affairs and things like that. So I'm thinking that he knows his life is on the line in that redemption house. He's looking not a day younger than 34 at this point. So I will say that you're trying to throw me off. That is not a Big Brother clip. That is Pauly Califiori, but from the challenge, The Final Reckoning.
You're good. Too good. All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. All right. Last one. Last one. Tell me, this is Rockstar Pauly.
And be honest, I wasn't even that wasn't even a thought in my mind.
OK.
All right. That is probably what Rockstar will be. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Turn it off. Turn it off. Saying the Julie on Thursday night this week.
Wow. OK.
You know your boy's got to be Italian because all he's doing is rocking gold chains this summer.
Yeah. All right. Last one. That's the bonus round.
That was Pauly.
Yeah.
That's the Paulie I know and love. That's the, wait, is that the message that you purchased for me?
No. No, I did purchase a message for you, Eric. But the problem was that, I had limited funds to purchase message for you. But I did go on bookcameo.com. And I wanted to get you a message, and I was going to get you a message from Brendan and Rachel, but I could afford a message for you from Brendan.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is exciting.
Yes. Okay. But I do have a message for you that I did purchase. This is a message for you from Brendan Villegas.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Eric. This is Brendan. Eric, my man, what is good? You really are one of the most loyal supporters since day one, bro. And don't think I don't notice. I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad. And you are a real one. Stay being awesome, my dude. At Unlimited Eric, the boss.
Oh my god, what an honor from the great Brendan. This touched my heart. It was like he was speaking directly to my soul.
So that was a nice message.
Wow, Fear Factor's own. How did you afford that?
I could only afford Brendan. I couldn't get Brendan and Rachel.
Wow. I honestly, Rob, I really appreciate that. That was incredibly thoughtful. I don't want to be unappreciative, but I noticed that you saw Brendan just last night.
Yes. Yes.
Did he remark on the fact that you had purchased this earlier in the week, right? He definitely did not do this last night, right?
No. I was talking to him about it, and I purchased it this morning.
Oh, okay. Thankfully. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, honestly, that you paid the man properly.
Yes.
It sounds very familiar what he said, but it tugged at my heartstrings.
They may have like a script that they use for a lot of these.
I feel like Brendan and I could go out as like a ventriloquist dummy duo, because when we used to rock karaoke together back in the day at these charity events, the size difference was really stunning. Yeah. So what if I just sat on his lap and we recorded book cameos for everyone for the rest of time?
Yeah, if somebody had like a ventriloquist act, I think that would be a good one for a book cameo.
It will be me on Brendan's lap and JC on my lap. It'll be perfect. And we'll record book cameos for the end till the end of time.
Yeah. Would they ever cast a ventriloquist on Big Brother?
Of course.
Yeah. Who's the guy with Peanut? I'm not talking about KC.
Yeah, the thing is, though, ventriloquists, they're very known for, speaking, I guess, right? So it's like a lifeguard, you know, got to watch out for those ventriloquists.
Yeah, I think it would be funny. Then, the puppet could vote in the diary room, like, Julie, you look mesmerizing.
I think we're on to something here. Yeah. This is incredible.
They would be the most popular house guest.
It's I feel like this could have been a nice slot for Adam Pock, possibly.
Yeah,
sort of back and forth, like, you know, like, I like bacon. I like apple teenies.
Yeah. What about if somebody had like an Adam Pock puppet? Could that be?
I feel like that would be a nice angle in the casting process. Definitely would make you stand out.
Like if somebody was like a ventriloquist act and they had like an Adam Pock puppet and like a, hey, get me some apple teeny.
I don't think that we've actually covered this on the podcast yet. I got numerous tweets during the casting process from people who said that they were immediately disqualified from the casting process when they were asked who their favorite player was and they said me. Apparently that is like a big no-no in the casting process. Most of the casting producers apparently had never
access denied.
Yes. I'm going to play this game like the great Eric Stein. All right. Thank you for coming out today.
That's how Swaggy C got on. He said, I hate Eric Stein.
I didn't even know that.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I love this idea. Jeff Dunham has the puppet Peanut.
All right, I like it. I like it.
Okay. Okay, let me give you a couple of voicemails, Eric. This is a voicemail from another voice that you may recognize. Okay, this is a voicemail from one of our listeners.
Hey, yo, Rob and Eric. This is Polly Calafiore coming to you live from the challenge. I had a question for you. We saw Casey get the health nut costume lift veto competition. I was wondering, what do you think your nut costume would be if you were in the Big Brother house? Catch you later. Bye.
I purchased that on Book Cameo, Eric, that voicemail.
I feel like there's a 40% chance that the Summer of Stein ends with me getting knocked out by Pauly at an event in New York.
Only 40?
Yeah, it's followed by a curb stomp and a mud hole when I soil myself after he beats the shit
out of me. Good God, that's Pauly Calafiore's music. He just curb stomped Eric.
Shoves my face in an apple pie. I start seeing butterflies flying over my head.
Make it stop! He's had enough!
I'm rescued by Frankie in a glitter thong. I wake up to hearing "Hi, Mommy."
I was here.
So I'm gonna probably steer clear of any more fan events for the rest of the summer.
Probably a good idea. What nut costume would you be in, Eric?
I have to answer the way Bollywood. These nuts. Obviously, I'm actually, not surprisingly, highly allergic to nuts.
Oh, so I didn't know this.
Yes, I would probably have to be actually dressed as an EpiPen to counteract Casey in the game at this point. She would be like my kryptonite if she just like touched me. up in hives, it would be terrible.
Would you have to wear the EpiPenitard?
Yeah, I would not be surprised. I'm surprised that didn't actually happen on my my season. There were numerous occasions when I actually had to go into the diary room and request, a Tums, maybe a Prevacid, possibly a Benadryl cream. You know, there was a lot of CVS runs during my time in the Big Brother house. Poor interns.
All right, Eric, I have one other voicemail question for you for this week. Hold on. Let me just get that open. What about do you have anything to say about Casey, our resident peanut, while I get this open?
No. Definitely not.
So I picked the wrong question to get you to stall for time.
No, I'm more than happy to talk about anything. You know that. The thing is, I do think she's probably playing an effective game. But I think that, again, I'm wondering, are we just like projecting out what we hope Casey's game is? She has had no reason to make the move. She's well positioned. Mm-hmm. Her alliance is on the right side of the vote. I think that she has done everything you could ask of her to this point. The question is this someone who's going to make the big move when it matters? Is she going to go full Andy out there? In which case, we will be talking about someone who played a boring but clean and extremely effective great game.
She's not Andy.
Right. Or is she more Beast Mode Cowboy or possibly Beast Mode Cowboy's brother even? You know, where does she fall into the strategy of, is she just sending herself to a fifth place finish at this point, helping get her alliance there? I did notice during last night's episode, Angela talking about our game, the peanut talking about our game. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, Tyler was talking about my game, not our game, you know? So I am wondering if they're just going to be in the long line of buffoons who are helping get someone else in their alliance to the finish line. But if she does something, then good on her.
Yeah. I mean, I think that these two are really, you know, cut from the BB19 mold where they are basically like, hey, we've got a final three with Tyler, and wait till everybody sees the look on their face, how dumb they are that we were working with Tyler the whole summer and nobody knew about it. I think that's their move. Both the two of them are both, they want to stand there on finale that I was working with Tyler the whole time and you had no idea. Whereas Tyler has, you know, a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. It seems like her and the cast of BB19 are sort of two peanuts in a pod. That was terrible. I regret even saying that.
They could go into BB19 and be like a fourth final three that Paul had.
It's sort of like being and this is not a compliment, like Alex without the personality. Something along those lines from last summer. You know, she's just sort of dutifully filling her role in the Alliance until it's just too late. Yeah, that does feel like her side. And I feel like Tyler actually, unless he just feels he can beat her outright, I think he's going to be aware of the fact that she's someone who probably is not his best bet to sit next to. Mm-hmm. She's a little too pleasant to be sitting next to. I don't think she has a big resume at this point, but if I'm him at this point, I'm just trying to sit next to someone who basically played a game similar to his, but worse. You know, mm-hmm. I think at this point he's better off sitting next to a JC or a Scotty than he is.
See, I think they could be an alternative. I think Angela might be the way to go.
Well, Angela's fine, and I think the dream scenario could be a Fessy for him at this point.
But Fessy's from the other side of the house. I feel like that, you know, Fessy, you know, that you get, you know, Rockstar and Bailey and Haley and
you're probably right. That's probably Living Dangerously. I think that I was thinking that maybe it would just be so objectively one-sided mm-hmm. that no one justify the vote in that direction, but you're probably right. But I do think he wants to be sitting against a non-entity or a total bitch like Angela, not someone with a pleasant demeanor with the relationships across the board.
Yes, and we don't know Angela but she has had her moments in the house.
I'm sure she's delightful.
She's a lovely person. Okay, Eric, this is a question from, you guessed it, Victoria.
Hey, Rob, how's the podcast? Hey, Eric Stein. Hey, it's Victoria. Okay, like, so my first one cut out. So, anyway, my question is for my fave, Eric. I want to know which Big Brother 20 house guest you think is the most precipitous? Like, because I'm so excited about Polly Calafiore, a.k.a. Mapper Akoli, calling in today. So, yeah, I want to know that was the best for that. Best for the brother or whatever. All right. I hope you guys have a beautiful day and a beautiful podcast. Bye.
I don't know why this show has turned into all Pauly Calafiore questions, but if you couldn't make out what Victoria was saying, she wants to know which house guest do you think is
bred for this?
I can't hear you, Julie. I can't hear you, Victoria. Congratulations, house guests. Yeah, it's a little tough to make out, but all right, now I got it. All right. Well, I'm trying to think who that would be. I'm wondering, just as an aside, I did notice a tweet right before we started recording in which our great caller here called me her version of the Kardashians.
Yes, you are the Kardashians to Victoria.
I am wondering if she is slipping to sort of Sam mental status at this point. I'm worried. I'm worried if there will be mud hole stomping later in the week. I don't know.
She's calling from the upside down.
You tell me. Who do you think is the, you know, the most built from the ground up for this game in this cast?
Well, I do think that that Tyler, you know, as we've talked about, has had a lot of great instincts. But what about JC, where, you know, he's sneaky, he is, great in the diary room, like he goes like into a dance instantly, like he can turn it on. I think he loves the camera, loves being watched. He's an exhibitionist. I think that he also, if you were going to, like, we're talking about like breeding the house guests like they're puppies, of trying to create a perfect house guest to compete in the future. I guess who do we want to breed
if we send them to the lab, right? Who are we gonna? And I actually like your choice of JC. I feel like JC would be a welcomed addition to any cast of Big Brother or any reality show for that matter, whether he lasted 1 week or far into the game. I think he would always deliver on the JC-ness of it all. And I mean, he brings a lot that we could not bring to this. I mean, could you imagine yourself in overalls, no shirt, and a fisherman's cap?
Yes.
That would not land in the way that JC pulls it off, you know? I really I think he is a home run, A plus casting every single time.
Yeah, he and thrives actually, on the like. There's like if you look at look on the Big Brother subreddit right now, there's a picture of him dressed as a Pokemon that he is, does not say no. Guys, I'll look too ridiculous in this.
Right. And I actually think that to an extent, I think JC, maybe not bred to play the game, but Sam is bred to appear on the game. That is for sure. Sam probably said two words out of her mouth before they slapped her Polaroid up on the casting board. So I think Bailey and Swaggy were both really, you know, cut out for making it on to the show. I would say that there's probably been several seasons that Tyler would not have made it onto.
He didn't get on Big Brother OTT.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you're up against some of those big personalities like Shane from OTT, mm-hmm. you know, it's
very memorable characters.
Yeah, that's well, really tough to compete.
When I had the Willett sisters here a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about how, like, when he went through Big Brother OTT, he had like a completely different look where he had like short hair and didn't have like the, you know, wavy surfer, like a crispy wave. Yeah, he didn't have that hairstyle.
I maybe that's a good strategy for people who have applied many times before. You just got to come in as a completely different person. Just act like the first several times didn't even happen. I like that.
Yeah, makeover. You know,
listen, Tyler is playing a very solid game. I'm not on the Tyler is one of the all-time greats train. I think he has a lot more work to do before we get to that point. I could see several of the real strategic players of yesteryear just eating this man alive in the game. I think that he's pretty transparent in what he's doing, but it's working for him. And we talk about this all the time. It's all about doing what works in the scope of that season and that cast, and he's pulling that off. So there's no, I am throwing no shade on Tyler's game. Tyler is playing an A-caliber game for this. I don't think that he's, you know, I'd rather breed myself more JCs than more Tylers moving forward.
Okay.
Are you kidding me right now?
Being serious. Okay. Let's get back to the tweets from our listeners. And we love getting the tweets. Hashtag Summer of Stein all week long. How about this one? This comes to us from Craig. Oof. If you're a Haley and your HOH week has ended with your best friend evicted on your watch and you're a big target by the other side, what's your next move? Love the show.
Well, this is a great question because apparently last night, Haley and Fessy were having a conversation about if they could move and or travel anywhere in the world, anywhere. Money is no object. Where would Fessy like to go?
Where and in the world would Haley and Fessy end up?
And the answer was Wyoming. And after sending your best friend home on your own HOH with a man who would answer Wyoming to that question as your number one ally, I think that's probably their next best move. Mm-hmm. It's probably just pack up and head to Wyoming because the game is probably not in great shape. Yeah.
Risking, I think Wyoming sounds nice.
It's decent enough. There's some national parks out there.
Do they have good internet? Because it seems like there's not a lot of people. You could really spread out. Doesn't seem like there's any traffic. If I can get good internet there, I'm in on Wyoming.
Yeah, it's a little secluded, though, and based on the fact that he, you know, sort of cornered her in, you know, in the storage room, you know, might want to have more people around in case she needs to shout for help or anything. But, listen, Haley looks like she is, what a roller coaster with this hacker competition. It's up 1 minute and down the next. And
the hacker giveth, the hacker taketh away.
Yes, yes. And the life and times of a hacker, as just last week, she was the one hacking and the hacker has gotten hacked. You know, it's just like Jeff once said, the hacker got or hacked or whatever the case may be here. And but ultimately, are they really going to send her home when she's sitting on the block next to Fessy?
Yeah.
No way in hell. Because you see the way that these guys fawn after her. I would say I sort of think Haley's game is sort of akin to Nicole 1.0, but I think she's better. I think she's more aware. I think she knows she needs to make a move. Whether or not she ultimately has the power, social capital, standing, timing to pull off this move is another story. But the way that she has Fessy, Scotty, Brett, and Tyler at least somewhat receptive to her, I think she has maximized her assets in this game, just as Sam was afraid of. And I could see her getting a few more weeks. I do not see a very strong path to the finish line. I think she's actually, in some bizarre way, made herself too big of a target now. The back-to-back competition wins, and I think everyone kind of sees those relationships she has. They're not really like under-the-radar relationships. If I were her, I'd probably just start making out with all of them and hope for the best.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Where do you see her standing at this point?
You know, I've never really had a good feel for her as a player in the game. You know, I've talked about that I really like that she's very observant, but I think that she needs to, I don't see a path for her. I mean, I guess that the best case scenario for her would be something that you talked about earlier about, you know, if the people on the bottom can sort of all get together and there ends up being like some like pseudo exterminators coming together. But the problem is it's hard to envision that without Brett coming on board. And then Brett and Haley and Fessy are the three people in this crazy love triangle as well. So I don't know if Fessy is going to be on board with something like that. So it's hard to imagine. It would basically be some sort of a reverse Keith's Angels that Haley would have to move forward with these three suitors in Fessy, Brett, and Scotty, like the three guys that she's had, at least a flirtation with. And
it's almost impossible to even believe this happening. But if in some imaginary world, Tyler and Fessy were to leave in the next two or three votes, you could imagine a world in which Brett, Scotty, JC without his Fessy, and Haley were the real line. But I really think that that's just fan fiction. You know, I think that's wishful thinking at this point. I think the most likely scenario of where we're headed in this game is to see some combination of Rockstar, Fessy, and Haley being wiped out in the next 3 weeks. And that's the end of their alliance. But you never know.
Yeah. Wasn't there like an Amanda Peet movie where she's like dating three guys at the same time?
Yes, I do believe so. It's Mamma Mia 5.
Mamma Mia 5. Yes. Yeah, I mean, this would be a very exciting thing to watch, but
I think Haley's actually come to life a little bit in the DR also. I think she is actually, for my money, she's probably the standout female of the cast so far. Caitlin aside, of course, naturally. But I think this, slowly but surely, and I said a few weeks ago, I wasn't seeing your breakout characters develop yet.
Yeah.
But I really do think we have seen Tyler and Brett and JC and Haley and Caitlin, even Bailey had her moment. I think we are seeing some people ascend to, there are going to be people that we remember from this season and take away. So I'm going to say, upon chewing the fat on that a little bit longer, I think that the cast has done what we've asked of them.
I believe that movie is called Whipped from the year 2000 with the amazing runtime of 1 hour and 22 minutes. You know it's a winner when it's not 125 in the runtime. Three egotistical swingers who think they're God's gift to women end up having their friendship tested when all three of them pick up and start dating the same woman.
How amazing would it be if she wins like the final four veto and we have some sort of combination of Fessy, Scotty, and Brent left over and she needs to make the decision about who she's going to take out and who she's going to take with?
I mean, this would be so much fun to watch. It's like, who's getting the final rose?
I actually think she could go down as the all-time great if she somehow finagles her way to the end with these guys and then just stomps a mud hole in them.
Good God! Scotty is down. Curb stomp. Okay. This is a question from Adam, who says, have you ever analyzed how Rob would have fared as America's Player in BB-8 and how Eric would have survived with Machete Man in the Amazon? Eric, have we ever done the Freaky Friday?
I think I'm seeing a hit right now, possibly, coming on here.
All right.
Now, are we presuming, though, that you had the unfortunate duty of fulfilling the role of America's player if you're on Big Brother?
Yes,
are you
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the question is literally, how would Rob have fared as America's player?
All right. Well, I think there's a good possibility that I would have turned into crazy Matt's like prison bitch, possibly in the Amazon, where just I was just outright afraid of him and just like basically had to like I just sort of cowered in front of him and followed him around. And that was probably as far as I'm going to go in the Amazon. I think there's a realistic possibility that on Survivor, that I either get heat stroke, get anal ice, get some form of malaria or allergic reaction or something within the first 3 days. Like, I feel like I could be basically kind of like Aubrey, except I just actually die instead of bounce back and like turn my game around. But that being said,
like the first 3 days of Aubrey and Ko Rong.
Yes, correct. Correct. I do feel like we have seen, though, the likes of some not particularly physical specimens go far on Survivor, like a Courtney Yates or something like that. So maybe I would find the fortitude to outlast. I think it probably would. I'm going full Scotty. I'm getting real high pitched envisioning this. This is nerve wracking. But I'm thinking, I mean, if I manage to last into the game, I envision myself crying tears during the peanut butter situation, probably. I mean, it's probably very similar to what you did.
You'd hang in there. What about me as America's player? What don't I realize about being America's player?
No, I think I see a very similar trajectory. A couple of nights crawling into bed with Joe Barber, just like I had to pull off. You know, I think hopefully, for your sake, you would not have faced the wrath of Amber. So if I, you know, if you had the opportunity and probably the good mind not to hold some of her personal information against her. So I could see you steering clear of that. You probably would have gone with the nachos instead of the cheese bagel if I had to guess.
No, I'd like a bagel, but I don't know about the cheese. I'm not a big cheese bagel guy unless we're going to get bacon involved or something like that.
There's also only one bathroom in the house, so you got to stay away from dairy. You know, that's dangerous. I don't know. How do you see yourself circumnavigating this?
I don't know. I feel like that you have a little bit of a shorter fuse than I do. And I feel like that I would be much more like begrudging about things like it's hard for me to imagine what it was like to not be annoyed all the time. Also,
who do you think you would have aligned with in the BB-8 house? I see you as getting along swimmingly with probably the great Mike Dutz, possibly. He was a very charismatic fellow.
I am drawn to the crazier people.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, I think realistically, I could have seen you and Jamaica going deep. That could have been nice. I don't know. Were you still single at the time of Big Brother 8?
See, I was not, but in this Freaky Friday scenario,
oh, you would have been me.
Yeah, am I you? That I don't really know what the time is. It me at the time that I played in the Amazon being switched. So I don't know. Too many.
If you were you, but playing as me, then and you were in a relationship, you could have avoided the showmance, and that would have assuredly helped you out.
Yes.
Yes. So, and now I'm trying to think about where I would have gone as far as alliance wise in the Amazon. But I mean, come on, it obviously would have just been Jenna and Heidi. Let's be real here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. And let's take this question. This is from Michelle, who says, as a fellow lover of the word oof, just curious, who would win the oof award for the oofiest season ever? The oofiest season ever. Who are you giving the first ever oof award to?
Well, there's a lot of candidates for this, and they're all in Fauté, no doubt about it. I feel like in the event that this week is to blow up in a manner that conceivably eliminates one of her own allies, I feel like that could lead to some oof candidates. Things are looking a little concerning for Rockstar on the Block right now. And all of this did happen during the 2 months of her daughter's birthday, which is very oofy. You know, you want to keep all of the months around all family members' birthdays clean. I would say, though, if I had to name the oofiest, and maybe it's because I'm thinking of the doofiest, but it's got to be Fessy.
Okay.
I mean, this man is...
Oof award.
Yes, and he will be collecting the award in the great state of Wyoming. No doubt.
Look, nothing wrong with Wyoming.
No, nothing is wrong with Wyoming. Although I would, it does probably speak to his worldview that if given the opportunity with no expense to him to travel with the love of his life anywhere he could possibly. Yeah,
your dollar goes far in Wyoming, I bet. That Big Brother stipend that you get, he's not going to win, but, 12 weeks of Big Brother stipends goes pretty far in Wyoming, I bet.
You know, and in all fairness to him, I traveled to the great state of Kansas with my stipend. So, he could be on to something, possibly. You know, you just got to go to the heartland of America with your Big Brother money.
You say Wyoming. I say, why not Oming?
Are they coming on as a sponsor here? The great state of Wyoming.
No, that's what I want to. Have you looked at these home prices lately? I'm telling you, Wyoming is that's the place to go.
This could be the next Mark and Elena. They could resettle their lives in the great state of Wyoming. I'm going to give Fessy the oof of the year. I mean, realistically, I'm not even trying. This is not hyperbolic. Has there ever been a player who had truly less, who lasted this long in as good standing, who had less idea of what was happening in the house?
I mean, what about like a Victoria?
I don't know. I mean, Fessy will be counting his lucky stars to be sitting in the final three. So,
okay. Eric, BB20 OG writes to say, why are you stealing? # Summer of Steve.
Summer of Steve 2018.
# Summer of Stein is such a knockoff. # BB20 Steve better TM that... S word, quick. This was a mean tweet. This was a criticism.
These are the types that will make sure that there is no week 8 of the Summer of Stein.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, this could really send me spiraling. Yeah, but
why are we stealing Summer of Steve #
All right. So here is a serious question. Okay. We know that thanks to you, I have had a miserable Twitter experience. I was forced to join against my will. I got next to no followers, okay. Right? And I did not capitalize on the timing of my season. So here is a game for you. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but we're going to have to look it up live on the show. Has Summer of Steve 2018 surpassed me in Twitter followers yet?
That's a great question.
He has signed on with some great proximity to his season. He has gotten a lot of great coverage through your network of shows. So I am wondering, by maximizing on his current fame, has the great lifeguard Steve capitalized on the moment and passed me in Twitter followers yet?
Okay, I'm going to guess that he has not, because he is not super active on Twitter. That's what I would guess. What do you guess?
I'm going to say he's not there yet. And if that's the case, I'm going to say that I and our Summer of Stein is in fact the big daddy of the SOSs of the summer of 2018. And if he has not caught me in followers yet, then he's going to have to come at me and I'm going to trademark it, not him.
Okay. All right. So this is a really exciting prop bet. Okay. Hope everybody at home is locking in their votes. Okay. So here's what we'll do. All right. Let's go to the Twitter machine. And so let's check this out. All right. On Twitter, Eric Stein, here he is with 11,100 followers here. 11.1.
Yes. Zero purged.
11,141. That is the number to beat. Let's go ahead and click over.
30 of those actively engaged in my remarks.
Let's click over to this tab to check out what BB20 Steve is up to.
Come on, come on, come on.
10,200. Oh! Your winner and yes! still champion of Twitter, the real Eric Stein or Eric Stein tweet.
Either way, really. Summer of Stein 2018.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Not anymore, my friend. I have just put that message in its place. Okay. It is the Summer of Stein until further notice.
Would you hazard to guess that you have more Twitter followers than any other Big Brother 20 pre-jury person?
Oh, absolutely not. They all have more than me.
Not even Winston?
Sure. No, I would say that the only other person that I could possibly be on par with is Baby Dino the dog on Instagram.
Yes.
That's it. That's it. That's the only one. Otherwise, it's a runaway. I'm sure Rachel, Winston, Swaggy, Caitlin are all throttling me at this point.
Winston, 23.9. I think Swaggy's over 30,000. So
how old is Winston? I'm starting to really have some questions about this.
He's gone full
Summer of Steve. I have this guy is not a day over 43 at this point.
He makes the same jokes that we do. So
yeah, he seems that's exactly what's tipping
he
him
he's
off.
28 according to Twitter. Yeah.
This is no insult to Winston. It's just that I noticed that he seems to have a pop culture sphere that is right in our wheelhouse.
Okay. All right. Let's go back a couple more questions here with Eric. Let's see. Hopefully we have some nicer ones.
Yeah, really.
Oh, Eric Stein. Can you tell the viewers more about Torrance and Tyler Weigert? Okay. Tyler Weigert, of course, was somebody who we talked about on the Survivor podcast last year.
Tyler Weigert.
Tyler Weigert was actually how Johnny Fairplay was trying to say Josh Wigler. But as you referenced last night, that we may have a new candidate in the Tyler Weigert category. This was from last night's podcast with Rachel and Brendan.
No, we do listen to everything you say because you make the most sense on all the stuff that goes
on.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Rachel. Yes.
Way more than Torrance.
Now I'm wondering. I know that you have your LFC and they're like really in the mix on this or whatever. So I was curious about who this nonsensical Torrance is and what some of the characteristics they possess that are different than Brant and Taryn and Melissa and everyone like that. Why you would even choose to employ the very nonsensical Torrance.
Torrance.
Now, is Torrance is a different person than Taryn?
I believe so. Yes. I immediately came to mind was Taryn's and Philip of the Great South Park the movie.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know.
Does Torrance cover Big Brother Canada for us?
Yes. Exactly.
Hey guys, it's me, Torrance.
It's UNCLE. Yes, I don't know. You tell me. I don't have much experience with Torrance. I wanted you to tell me more about some of the traits. Yes, and then how he differs from some of your more well known guests.
Like, does he have any flapping head?
Yeah, exactly. Just mouth, just opens and closes, just like Terrence.
You know who's really eating this bit up right now is Winston Hines. He's dying. Oh my God. South Park the movie jokes. All right.
Oh my God. Maybe you should redo the Saved by the Bell megacast, but with Winston this time.
Oh, maybe. Let's see. Let's check the emails real quick. This is from Patrick, who writes in, hey, Rob and Eric, how are you guys? I'm in Amsterdam, so not really up to date here. But my question is, how would you be able to live or work with people like Rockstar or Sam in the house? Also, would you come on Dutch reality TV and be Holland's player? P.S. Brett is cute. Well, we've touched on the Sam and Rockstar a little bit. Would you come to Holland to be Holland's player, Eric?
I think it would probably be my best chance. I was actually in Amsterdam earlier this year.
Hey, now.
And I feel like, well, a lot of people rode bicycles and I cannot ride a bicycle. So that might set me back possibly if there were any bike riding competitions on the show. But otherwise, I'm very open to it. Otherwise, as a producer, I would love to steal the great formats of the Netherlands and bring them to the United States. So
what, a lot of good reality.
They do. They have they're the origin spot of several great hits, mm-hmm. such as, you know, the great Utopia and basically anything Kurt Clark would podcast on would be probably originated somewhere around Amsterdam.
This is an email we got from one of our listeners, Derek, who says, hey, Rob and Eric, I just wanted to say that Rob, you look exquisite and Eric looks spunky today. Mom, Dad, I love you. Happy birthday, Fidel Castro, Alfred Hitchcock, and Billy the Fridge. Can either of you explain to me how Russell Hance ended up on the Champions Tribe on Australian Survivor? Thanks, Derek. Do these shout outs help people get emails onto the show? Are they more likely or less likely to get on the show with a shout out?
Oh, yeah. Well, I it's a good time for that. I would actually like to thank my life coach, Caitlin. I'd like to thank my boy, baby Dino the dog, Paulie Califiore. I'd like to thank Brendan for recording that thoughtful message because I am your ride or die, my friend. I'd like to thank the good Lord, JC. JC from NSYNC, that is. I'd like to thank Winston... Yeah. Winston Churchill, Torrance, Taryn, Tyler Weicker, Winston Hines, Kelly Kapowski.
Happy birthday, Stinkers.
Happy birthday, Rockstar's daughter.
BB 20 OG.
I've been riding with Brendan since last night's podcast. Great. You know, one of my favorite parts about the shout outs is how mad and irrationally so it just makes random past alum. Like, I've noticed, like, Ronnie is going to blow a freaking gasket about this. He is fuming. Michelle Costa, she's turning backwards in the diary room about this. They are so incensed. I saw my homie Danny D. Everyone seems so very upset about the shout outs. Why is this? Are they really so into the integrity of the Big Brother experience that it's ruining it for them? Are they upset that they didn't give shout outs at the time? Like, what is it that they're actually objecting to precisely?
I think that at some point, Eric, that the shout outs did not exist or be people like very sporadically, like it was like a kid's birthday and they let it slide. But now every single person every week has multiple shout outs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if the producers wanted to stop it, they would have. So obviously, there's no objection to it. We used to get things like, Eric, if you do that one more time, you won't receive a penny of your stipend.
Oh.
Well, guess what? I'm not going to do a shout out after that. I was once called into the diary room and they said to me, what part of stop talking about your diary room sessions don't you understand? If you do it one more time, you'll get a penalty nom. So clearly the producers have no issue with it. The only thing that I feel sad about, and I'm not hating on them, I say all power to them, is that I just wish I got to do those hallway dances before I voted.
Mm-hmm. What would your hallway dance do? What would you? So you're going to vote and I'm going to come in next. You just came out of voting. What are we doing?
I'm seeing something like leapfrog, perhaps.
Leapfrog?
Yeah, we jump over each other a couple hops along the way.
You don't want to do like a DX, like a...
Oh, crutch jump. Maybe stomp a mud hole in the previous voter.
Good God, Eric, he just stomped a mud hole. Yeah, so we're like choreographing, like I'm going to throw you into the ropes and you come back and then clothesline me. Yeah.
I see us getting very involved. Like you pull a Kelly Kapowski cutout out from somehow under the diary room and I do like a Hey Preppy or something like that, you know,
leading up to a people's elbow.
We all dance the sprain, mm-hmm. with Lisa and Screech possibly. so many beautiful options. The one thing that I actually do find disturbing about this is that doesn't it seem like sometimes the next voter is like really deep down the hallway by the time the vote is cast? And those are not soundproof rooms in any which way. Like I would, if I came out and the next person about to vote was like three quarters of the way to the door already, I would be like,
right.
Know, like, Guys, could you like give me a moment here while I cast my vote?
Right. Well, that's why they're doing all those shout outs in case this person is already in the hallway.
Maybe we just solved it, right? They just figured you need 10 seconds of shout out. So that way, in case anyone hears anything.
That's at the end for padding. Okay. All right.
This one's for my boy, Grandpa Lou.
Let me give one serious email that we got from somebody who wrote in that Eric had made a profound difference in their life. This is from one of our listeners this person they use a pseudonym. They wrote in to say, hi, Rob. Eric Stein gave me life-changing advice on the Big Brother 8 live feeds.
I can only imagine what this consists of.
When he explained that he wipes his rear end by putting his hand between his legs versus outside and wipes back to front. Yes, the reverse. For an amazingly clean rump. This changed my life like you wouldn't believe. Eric could change others' lives, too, by providing a PSA for your audience. Thank you. Signed, Clean Keister in D.C. Eric, is this true?
This is probably the greatest mark I made from Big Brother 8. This is beautiful. As shocking as this may be, this is true. And there was an at length, probably 30 to 75 minute debate about this in the Big Brother 8 backyard that involved most, if not all, of the house guests.
All right. Well, start this off. Now, this was like a public service announcement that you turned to the live feed camera and said, okay, everybody, I have something I need to share with you. A life hack.
Yes. I had gone to the diary room and told them I was going to do a The More You Know segment, you know, where I was going to, you know, teach the viewers things that they needed to know, possibly. And believe it or not, Rob, in the Big Brother house, you kind of run out of topics to talk about pretty quickly, you know, so you really are scraping the bottom of the barrel or the
back
bottom
to front.
Of the Easter, so to speak, in the Big Brother house. So you end up discussing everything. I'm going to preface this by saying, I do not recommend this for your female viewers.
Okay, this is for your speaking only. This is a men's health issue. Will this prevent the proliferation of anal lice in any way?
I believe probably not. This would probably just result in full frontal lice as well. So I would not, if you have the anal lice, this is probably not the move for you.
Okay.
As well. But I'm gonna ask you the two work as a demonstration dummy, a ventriloquist dummy for me in this case, okay, right? And I'm just going to ask you, no, you don't need to remove your pants for this. I'm just going to ask you, all right, could you, I don't know what this beeping is in my apartment.
That's the podcast department.
That's telling me time to change the subject. All right, no. This is all I'm going to ask of you. Just take your wiping arm and reach forward between your legs and tell me what sort of distance that feels like to you. Can you reach down pretty easily if you're going in between the front of your legs?
Eric, that you don't need to evangelize to the converted, okay?
All right, now watch this. Now watch as I reach my arm and do what everyone else is doing. I have to go all the way around the back.
Right.
For this reach around technique, now I've lost leverage. I don't see what I'm doing anymore. And I feel like it's a far off distance.
Yes.
It probably requires a standing position, which can be very difficult in a public setting, right? So now, okay, I'm going to address what was posed to me in the house at the time. Okay, well, yes, it's a little close to some other aspects on your body, right? Okay, great. But like I pointed out to them at the time, it's not like when I'm doing it the way most people do it, you're not smearing it up your back. You know,
okay,
like you're
all
still,
right.
All right. I'm just saying you're containing it to the rightful area it belongs in. And that's no different if you're doing it in the reverse situation. So you are simply have a nice
better view of the action, too.
Better view of the action, a nice, easy angle of approach. I'm just saying, before everyone poo-poos this, so to speak, you might want to consider where I'm coming from on this.
Yes, Eric, I hope you will be happy to know that I have taught your technique to my sons as they learn to use the potty, And maybe long after you're gone, your impact will be everlasting. This will be your legacy.
If I could get one new convert after this podcast who tells me how it goes, just one time, just try it out and let me know if I was wrong. All right. And listen, yes, I just want you to see it through. Don't come in with a prejudice on the situation. All right. And I think we might be changing lives here. I'm happy that 11 years later, I have made such a mark. Yes. On this, hopefully not this man's briefs, but yes, just his life.
Yes. Eric, was this taught to you? Was this something that was passed down from generation, from Stein to Stein, or was this a self-discovery?
No, I think it was the reverse. I feel like I was never taught the standard ways, and I was left to fend for myself and figure it out. And that, wow, and that's just what I had to land on, you know? So I think it's, for most people, it's probably option number two. But for me, I felt like it was the way to go.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Eric.
I'm so glad that we got to this. This is very meaningful.
Thank you, Clean Keister, for all this. Well, Eric, we covered it all. Is there anything
exactly
else?
Right.
Yes. Is there anything else that you want to get to this week?
I think we've probably just we've probably ended the experience for most people one way or another.
Did you want to hear your message from Brendan again?
Yes, please.
Eric, my man, what is good? You really are one of the most loyal supporters since day one, bro. And don't think I don't notice. I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning.
Yes.
I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad. And you are a real one. Stay being awesome, my dude. At Unlimited Eric, the boss.
Not only is this the greatest gift you've ever bestowed upon me, but or anyone for that matter, but it really puts into perspective how truly insane Paulie's message was.
Why do you have to say that this is an insane message? I mean, this seems like a totally reasonable.
Jason, my man, what is good? You really are one of the most loyal supporters. You've been here since day one, bro. And don't think I don't notice. I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the time is good.
How did Rockstar get on Bocamio already?
And you are a real one. So stay being awesome, my dude. At Unlimited Jason, the boss.
Maybe that's a good final question for you. Who do you think has the best post-BB20 career on Bocamio.com?
Oh, yeah. Who's charging the most money? Well, I would say, I mean, Caitlin's only in there at $30.
I don't know. I like Rockstar. She could talk. She could leave birthday messages for everybody.
Yeah. Rockstar.
A lot of yeses.
Yes. Yeah, I think that Tyler could be up. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be wanting a Tyler message. Is there somebody that, like, JC would be a great one. Like, JC would be like, hey, it's like jumping, somersault. Like, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck with JC.
I will never trust you again.
What is this curb stomping? Oh my god.
Yeah, what about Fessy?
It's like hey there, I don't know why I'm leaving this message for you, but I'd love to go to Wyoming with you if I have the good fortune of traveling anywhere.
All right. Let's start to wrap this up because I have to. My wife told me I had to be done at 12:45, basically. So, all right.
That's as good a reason as any.
Yeah. 6 minutes away. All right, Eric. So, of course, follow Eric Stein tweets. Help keep him above the Summer of Steve line. Of course, we got a lot coming up on Wednesday and Thursday this week with recaps, LFC Roundtable as well on Tuesday. And send in your questions all week long. BigBrother@robiswebsite.com or robiswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP as well. Eric, any final thoughts?
You'll be hearing me on Thursday with a very special message for Johnny Mac, if he ends up appearing. I will be recording you.
Yes.
It will be me as Brendan, as Paulie
Ford. My dude.
What's good, my man?
Yeah, that would be a great message to leave for Johnny Mac coming up this week. Of course, if you want even more nonsense from Rob Has a Podcast, become a part of our patron community when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for that. And if you like this sort of nonsense, of course, myself, Josh Wigler, and Mike Bloom record a 3-hour podcast simulating a season of Survivor First Boots. One day, Eric, that would be on my bucket list to record a fake Big Brother season with you.
Yeah, I would be absolutely amazing. Although it cannot involve me, or it will end up too close to my heart.
Too close. Okay.
I find myself, as I listen to these, as I'm sure you guys are naturally as well, with an irrational amount of rooting interest in the simulated season.
Yes.
After the first one earlier this summer, I did actually plug in a BB-8 with the original cast just to check out how the site worked. And as I was marching closer and closer to the end, I was starting to be like, it's finally happening.
Yes.
It's finally there. I might finally pull this one out. And then I got sniped right around the same spot as last time.
Yeah. It's tough.
I believe Joe Barber won.
My favorite one that I've ever seen was that somebody did a simulation and I ended up in the final three of a Survivor season with Jeremy and Val Collins. And I just feel I was just the third wheel on the Jeremy and Val march to the end.
Yes, that was a strategic misfire, much like Zach Switerski and the Donatos at the final three. Probably not the best play there. Yeah, that's rough. It's rough. Maybe we should just do the entire Calafiore family.
All the Calafiores.
And everyone's the same.
Yeah, and Rockstar. All right. That being said, let's tell you what's coming up next time here on the Summer of Stein. Eric is coming in here, dropping knowledge on people, giving all sorts of public health tips. What do I have to come up with to get people to start listening to me?
Listen, what's good, my man? It is my hope that after you see this message from me, that next episode, you will learn to wait properly or pay the consequences.
What will happen next time? Find out on the Summer of Stein podcast. Trademark. Suck it, Steve. You okay?
That was a bad move.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loving, there's a pounding in my weekly shape pen. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer's